Hi everyone, my name is Tyler Oakley, and you are listening to Psychobabble, an unfiltered half hour of gossip sessions, pop culture scrutiny, and stories we have never told in videos. It's not just crazy talk, it's Psychobabble. In today's episode, we discuss our barbershop kinks, we dive deep into the hashtag Free Britney conspiracy theories, we talk spoiler etiquette in the age of Avengers, Game of Thrones, and Drag Race, and we recap episode 2 of The Amazing Race in Laos. Stick around, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, and live tweet as you listen with hashtag Psychobabble. Hello, Corey.
Hello, Tyler.
How are you on this beautiful Thursday that we are recording this episode?
Well, I can't believe we've made it all of 10 seconds and you haven't told me how cute I look, which is pretty rude.
Your haircut looks beautiful, very fresh.
Well, listen.
What?
My expensive woman was too expensive, so I was going to this cheap woman, and then I decided, you know, I'm going to go back to the expensive woman. And then the expensive woman had lowered her prices as if the universe was telling her she was too expensive.
Was it a public price? Is it, like, listed on the wall? Like, how does this work? Because I go to Kyle. I've been going to Kyle for, like, 7 years, so it's like, I don't know how normal people get their haircut anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, us normal folk. Well, I also, my other complaint about my lady was that she was very popular, which probably caused her to raise her prices. But, and then you have to make an appointment like 3 weeks out with her. And like, I wake up on a fucking Monday and I'm like, you know, I should probably get my haircut today. Ain't nobody got time to plan a fucking haircut 3 weeks out.
At that point, I feel like you just need to have a consistent every 3 weeks, like on the dot type of appointment. And I hate that. That's not what I want.
Well, see, that's what I was getting into with my cheap lady, because she would just like cut my sides. And I was like, listen, don't even touch the top, just like fix the sides. And it was super cheap and it was only like $20. And then this woman, the expensive one, was all, you know, I decided to lower my prices for people like you who just get the sides cleaned up.
People like you.
And I said, well, God bless. As I sat under her little barber cape and just sweat through everything that I was wearing because it's been hot in San Francisco, and I just kept telling her, well, I'm going to be a sweaty mess when I get out from underneath this cape, so you've been warned.
That's, you know what, have you seen those capes that are see-through so that while you're on your getting your haircut you can be on your phone?
I don't like that.
Why? You don't want people to see what you're up to under there? what you doing?
A little puppet show?
No, with your hole?
Just cracking my knuckles.
Are you the puppet?
Your mom's a puppet.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Your mom loves a puppet.
The puppet. I forgot about the puppet. No, I thought you were saying that my mom gets fingered. I'm like, no, can we not go there?
I was like, bitch, catch up. I'm talking about her wholesome cheer routine from senior year.
Did someone say whole?
Someone did.
The puppet. Yeah, the puppet's coming back to me. I haven't thought about the puppet in a solid minute.
Yeah, well, here you have it.
Anyway, so you don't jerk off under the thing while you're getting your haircut. That's not your kink.
No, and I would really suggest not doing that if any one of you cycle ghosties currently do.
I mean, how would you get caught? They take the cape off of you and it's slimy? What's the tea?
I don't like this. It reminds me of when I was in like 16 years old and I used to go get my haircut from this like barber that my dad had told us all to go to. And it was this man's barbershop, and he just had Playboys all over his magazine rack for you to thumb through while you're waiting to get your haircut. And I thought, what kind of toxic masculinity? People need to look at porn while waiting to get their haircut.
Meanwhile, I would not hate if there were gay porn at my haircut place.
And then, well, you should talk to Kyle. Get him on that.
I guess my haircut place is my home, so I can put. Yeah. But I feel like if I put porn everywhere and then Kyle comes over and cuts my hair, do you think that'll be like awkward? Do you think we'll talk about it? What do you think?
It's like when you fucking like, it's those people who answer the door for pizza delivery and have like a boner and try to like get the person to look
at it. Is that a thing? Do people do that?
Yes. I'm like, I told you, if you can think of something, someone's out there doing it. In fact, I think my brother, who used to be like a delivery person in Chicago, would tell me all the time, people do weird ass shit when you knock on their door and you're trying to give them their Jimmy John's.
Answered the door in just like my underwear. But, like, I'm not trying to solicit.
Are you trying to, like, get an electrician to finger you?
I'm the puppet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if you want, I guess I'll tweet Kyle right now and ask him if it's okay for you to have porn playing the next time he comes.
Well, he comes into my home, or sometimes, well, I've gone to him a couple times, but he comes to my home and we sit like kind of in my, between my kitchen and my living room, you know, with that little
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Good natural light. It faces the big mirror, you know, all this, all these things. But what if I just had on the big screen TV, just porn blasting and I never talk about it. Listen, I don't.
You should, and you should have it muted while like Christmas music plays.
Okay. Well, this is all jingle, setting a scene.
Jingle balls, honey.
Okay. I don't think he'd be against it, but you know what? I want to respect him, and I don't want to
listen.
Make him,
I mean, he as a self-employed human, he does not have an HR that he can call to report you.
Well, okay.
He's just gonna stop cutting your hair.
So you're on the. On my side of making him uncomfortable. Got it. Okay.
Listen. Look, if Kyle's looking for love, maybe it's you. And maybe this porn is the gateway to bring you two together.
Have you ever used, what's it called? A flubbo? A flubby? A flony? A floby? Floby?
Is that the like vacuum that cuts your hair?
Yes, I'd like to try it.
I'm a bitch. Lord knows you're hurting for YouTube content.
You know what? That might be my next video.
Kyle come over. Two gays, one Floby.
Okay. I put up the day this episode goes live a video where I transformed myself. I just filmed it, so I don't know if you can see it on my face, but I scrubbed my face afterward. I transformed myself into Post Malone. Topical.
Is this like when that girl went as Post Malone and then people thought it really was him?
No. Who's this girl? Me?
I think it was Zendaya. Zendaya. I never know how to say it.
I tried to put all the tattoos on my face.
Zendaya, I'm pretty sure it was her. Maybe it was Chrissy Teigen. I don't know. One of those two went as Post Malone for Halloween and then like
a
month later, like, literally, like, People Magazine was all Post Malone getting ready for the Billboard Music Awards or some shit. And it was the picture of, like, Zendaya as Post Malone.
Well, I think that's what people are going to see when they see my new video. It was uncanny. I bought a beard and I had to shape it myself with some scissors. I had a very productive day.
Oh, well, shit.
I've been busy.
In fact, maybe it wasn't Zendaya. Maybe it was who's that girl you love? Rita Ora. Yes.
Speaking of Rita Ora.
It was Rita Ora as Post Malone.
Okay, well, that's iconic.
And then people actually used the picture of her on like a E or like a fucking People website.
Well, you know, Rita Ora, she remains a legend. I have to say, I just saw the Pokemon Detective Pikachu movie. I saw a pre-screening for it.
You kind of low-key texted me that last night as if I didn't deserve to know sooner.
Well, I can't say anything about it, but I loved it. And the when Rita Ora was in the movie.
Can you tell me who she plays?
No, I'm not going to say. I screamed.
Can you text me?
No, I won't say. The beans will not be spilled.
This is bullying.
I liked the movie, though, and I think Pokemon lovers and true music lovers will enjoy it also.
Who was your plus one?
I brought everyone. I said, I'm going to need a plus 12, please. And they gave me. I brought all the gays. Though, well, of course.
Name at least one or two of them, preferably ones that I think I could trick into telling me the answer to my question.
You know, I'm not going to tell you. I'll text you these things. But one of my friends, you know, Ryan.
Oh, yes.
He showed up at the wrong theater, of course.
Oh, no. Poor babe.
I said, if anybody was going to, of course. Anyway.
Girl, I mean, not to drag your friends, but if anybody was going to, that's not who my money was on.
Well, go off. I will say the Pokemon movie was good, and it made me only want to open my Pokemon Go app and trade people.
When you were watching...
What?
Never mind. Just go ahead. Tell me what you wanted to do when you were watching.
That's all I was going
to
say.
You wanted to open your app and stand up and say, who all here wants to trade a Pokemon?
I was like, if I had to find people to trade Pokemon with, this was the room of people that I was going to be able to have some luck with. So I really wanted to network, but I didn't feel like it was.
Listen, okay. Bitch. I saw this guy that I know that plays Pokemon at the gym just now before I came home, and he all waved at me when I was doing my warm-up on the treadmill, and immediately after I got off, I said, don't you dare leave without coming to trade me a Pokemon.
And did you get what you wanted to get?
Bitch, that good sis gave me the good, good.
Oh, okay.
He's the one who gave me that Torkoal I've been needing.
Torkoal only found where?
Like India, I think.
Oh, bitch. Well, I am jealous of that. I wish you could trade forward, but you can only trade things once.
When I was on my treadmill thinking about it, because I'm a good friend, and I was like, well, I would then trade this to Tyler because I am such a nice human. And I thought, why does Pokemon have all these dumb rules? Like, oh, you can't trade one that's already been traded? Is it because it's afraid the Pokemon will be, like, sad that it's going through so many fathers?
I like that is a factor, because then you really have to be selective of who you give your rare shit to. So it's like, I should be your number one friend that you would give something to if you have something that I need. You shouldn't be giving it to somebody else. That's just how I feel.
I mean, not to quote the great Janet Jackson, but what have you done for me lately?
I'm ready and willing to give you anything that you need, Pokemon-wise. I'm ready and willing to do anything.
Do you know what's really caught fire with the Psycho Babies?
What?
Now, no matter what I do, they all just tweet at me and say, another Coachella alone, another Easter alone.
I saw that. I saw it's the kids. Another very, Amazing Race alone.
It's very on brand for me.
Speaking of which, we'll be doing a little recap at the end of this episode. If you stay to the very end, you'll hear our thoughts on the latest episode of The Amazing Race.
We won't do any spoilers,
but we will tell you when spoilers will be coming. So that's that on that.
We'll give you the tea for the last like 5 minutes of today's episode.
Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Wix.com. With Wix, you can create your very own professional website. Just choose a template you love and customize it by adding your own text, images, and videos. And with hundreds of intuitive design features, you can tell your story exactly the way you want. Want even more for your website? You can easily start a blog, launch an online store, or create an event. Share everything in a click on social media and drive even more traffic to your site with SEO tools to get found on Google. Wix has all the tools you need to create the exact website you want. You can even create your beautiful website while listening to Psychobabble. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their websites, so create yours today. Get started by going to Wix.com, that's Wix.com/Psychobabble for 10% off. Again, Wix.com/Psychobabble for 10% off. Thank you, Wix, for sponsoring the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Tyler, I mean, now that we've talked about haircuts for 11 minutes, what did you have on your list of things to discuss today?
Well, speaking of spoilers, Game of Thrones, do you care? Do you watch it? I don't know.
Listen,
I forget.
Okay, here is the thing.
What?
I did not watch either of the first two episodes until literally like last night. Or 2 nights ago, I finally said, okay, I'm going to get stoned. I'm going to watch Game of Thrones. And I thought, all these bitches complaining about spoilers. And I thought, I haven't even been like proactively avoiding them. I just managed to not see any. And then I thought, A, do I literally have no friends that watch Game of Thrones? Or B, is it that I actually pay such little attention that when I'm watching that, unless you name like one of the five big main characters that I'm well aware of, like then I'm not going to be spoiled by anything. Like if you say Jon Snow is dead, I'm going to know what you're talking about. But if you're all so-and-so third party character did such and such, I'm going to be like, who the fuck is that? I don't even know their name unless I'm looking at them.
It is so outside of my realm that I could read a full tweet not knowing that it's about Game of Thrones. I can I can sometimes guess. If there's dragons involved, if there's the word Stark, I know that's a thing. I know that something about a crypt maybe is a thing going on. Or some Nightwalker is another thing I've known.
Well, come on. You're very close.
I know about Winter is Coming. I've seen that phrasing. I know about I know that there is a throne.
Yeah.
I know. What else do I know? I don't know. I don't know what I don't know, which is helpful in the fact that I someday want to watch.
I just don't believe this will ever be in your trajectory.
I want to watch it. Everyone says it's incredible. It feels like I'm really missing out on like a moment in like pop culture history, but like it is what it is.
As someone who like doesn't even know the names of people that you've hung out with like handfuls of times, I really doubt you're going to be able to remember any Game of Thrones character. You know I'm good with names. I'm like the best person with names that you know. You know my memory is a steel trap, but like when it comes to Game of Thrones characters, I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, it seems challenging to watch, and it's like one of those shows where I would have to take an Adderall before I watch.
I'm just very like, I know if you're in the Starks, I know if you're a Stark child, I know who Daenerys and Jon Snow are. Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm going to watch. I am on the edge of my seat. I am here for it. I'm ready for dragons to fuck people up. I'm ready for everyone to die this season, but like, I'm not going to say your name when I attend your funeral because I don't know it.
God bless. Well, I, as somebody who watched Lost and felt that like cultural moment and then was disappointed in the last bit of it, it's like I want for all of y'all to enjoy it because I don't care at this moment. And like, I don't want to hear y'all complain. And it's the same for me with the damn Avengers shit. Like, I have seen maybe a third of those movies. God bless those people who work on them. God bless the people that act in them. God bless the people that care about it. It's just, it's like, they really overdid it, and I know a lot of people are all about it, but for me, it's not something that I've kept up with, so I'm not going to.
I know I see people like, I'm just like mind blown when I see people I follow on Twitter like screenshotting the muted words that they've like set up on their account, and I think, hey, that probably would be helpful for someone like me who watches a lot of TV and like wants to avoid politics on some days, or like at least take a break from it every once in a while. But I never even utilize that. And I think, wow, these people really care about Avengers so much that they're like muting words on Twitter.
Well, I also am kind of the mindset of like, if you're online, bitch, people want to talk about their favorite shit. So like, I can't blame people wanting to talk about spoilers. I do wish people would like warn a little bit, but I also like some type of chaotic energy of pop culture where maybe there's people out there that would like tweet fake spoilers so that it's all mixed in and you don't know what's real and what's right. So like, I think for big cultural events, like the finale of this, whatever the hell, like what is it? Game of Thrones, for Avengers, for the finale of Amazing Race, whatever you care about. If you wanted to talk about it, I also wish that there were things mixed in of like fake decoy red herring moments so that if somebody wants to consume, they don't know what to trust and what not to trust. That would be nice.
I like that. I mean, I saw one of my friends post on Facebook the other day and they were like, spoilers aren't a thing. The world doesn't stop for you.
I mean, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, it was literally like, attention, everyone, once an episode airs, it's no longer a spoiler. The world doesn't stop for you. And I said, cosign.
For somebody who, like, for me, my version of, like, the worst spoiler I can see is, like, Drag Race stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, even then, I don't quite care. But, like, I know if I get online, I'm going to see something. So, like, if I desperately don't want to know, like, if it's the finale of a Drag Race season that I actually cared about, then yes, I will, like, try to avoid. Speaking of Drag Race, should we talk a little bit about Drag Race? I feel like we haven't talked about this season at all.
I know. Like, I think we're always just in our, like, postpartum Drag Race depression by the time May starts to roll around because we've had 5 months of nonstop.
Well, I am actually starting to really like this season. I don't know what happens in the episode that's airing as we literally record, but I'm actually kind of enjoying a lot of the queens. Who are your front runners right now?
I am too, and I was actually kind of saying after like the last lip sync when it was like one of the most legendary lip syncs, honestly, ever. And I feel like sometimes I do feel like in the drag race world that gets thrown around a lot. But I truly think the one from, I don't know, whatever last week was actually one of the best ones I've ever seen.
It was Evie versus Brooklyn Heights. Yeah. It was, I
look
believe,
at me. I was
sorry,
being so,
not sorry.
I was being so nice trying to be spoiler free. But yeah,
well,
fuck
we
you
won't
all.
Say what we won't say what happens during it.
But like it was one of the best ones I've ever seen. And then when I and then after the end of that episode, when I was looking at all the queens who were there, I thought, I wouldn't want to lip sync against any of those girls. I was like, everybody there could win. Everybody left could win a lip sync if they have to. And I thought, wow, maybe this is like a really good top eight going into the like second half of the season.
The difficult thing about a regular normal season, and I say that as opposed to like All-Stars, is that when you come back to All-Stars, you know what you need to do. So like from episode one, you know how you have to be bringing it. A lot of these queens, there is some like not so great first episodes because some of these queens don't know what to expect.
Right.
They don't have any connections. They're in a small town. They don't have the polished looks. So you are going to have like the first few weeks of a normal season to be a little bit like, ugh.
Right. It's kind of like, I hate saying it, but you're right. It's weeding out the people who are kind of like rough around the edges, and it doesn't make it like super exciting to watch when you kind of can assume who's going home.
Right, when there's not many like shock eliminations, and you like right. you said, you know, like okay, well, these three are kind of the next to go.
Right,
it's boring in a way, but also it kind of gives the like whatever the top six might be a really big chance to develop like reasons why you're going to be attached to them, and like you know you're going to be watching these for a while, so they're giving them like plot points and things that can like build up as to like the repertoire of what they've done. So I kind of enjoyed that.
I definitely do. And I'm kind of looking at this season and I have a lot of, I feel like I have a lot of favorites, a lot of people that I would like to see do well. The funny thing is I'll ask you now, but I had been meaning to text you this question when I watched last week's episode about like when they did the snatch game. Now, did you feel like Silky was playing T.S. Madison or did you just feel like Silky was playing Silky?
You know what? This is, I was going to say the exact same thing, because how are you going to critique Vanjie for playing a character, but like too much of Vanjie is in Vanjie, when Silky, did she win the episode?
She won the episode, literally. Like, yes, she said catchphrases that T.S. Madison has, but like, all I was watching was Silky play Silky and be the exact person she's been the entire season. And I was a little annoyed by it.
It's difficult. You have to kind of suspend your disbelief and let the critiques be the critiques, because too often the same critique can be something the judges love about a queen and hate about a different queen. Somebody can be to themselves in the snatch game or, you know, and then get the exact same negative critique or...
Yeah, well, it's like they keep critiquing Vanjie for having the same silhouette, but nobody's going to say nothing to Plastique about having the same silhouette.
Or Silky.
And don't get me wrong, because I love Plastique too, but I just wish they would both switch it up. I'm like, how can you continue to read Vanjie when I feel like Plastique's... And like I said, we watch every Thursday night and like all the gays come over and a bunch of my queer friends come over and we all just like sit and we have these discussions well after the episode airs. But yeah, everybody's looking at the TV like blink, 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 but nobody wants to say nothing to Plastique about her silhouettes.
Well, who knows? I will say this. You never know what gets said on the runway. You never know what the judges use or say. It's all about how the editors and the story producers make a season. They have to make it so that it makes sense when people go home. It makes sense when people stay or have a redemption arc. They have to create these plot lines. So maybe the judges are saying these critiques, but they're not making the cut. Who knows?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
And I think that brings us to maybe we get into the Amazing Race. Or is there anything else we want to talk about before we get to the Amazing Race?
The funny thing, I was going to ask you last week, did we, I don't even know if we touched on it. I feel like we talked about Coachella the whole time, but I was going to say, did you see all the like Britney drama? I felt like, did we touch on it last week?
I literally don't know if have we talked no idea. About it. I've seen it. I've kind of followed it. I mean, I've read like theories in what feels like just conspiracy theories at this point. If you don't know what we're talking about, there's a hashtag going around that's hashtag Free Britney. Long story short, people are questioning why she left her Vegas residency. The reasoning that was public was that her dad was sick, and so she wanted to spend time taking care of him and being with family and all of those things. And people are skeptical of it because she is under a conservatorship, which means right. people are making decisions for her. And so a lot of people are questioning what the authenticity of the reasoning behind her leaving the Vegas residency, if she has control over her own life, if she's being able to make her own decisions. And people are also claiming that she's being put into... is it mental institutions? Or I don't know what the accusations are, but...
I mean, I don't know if anyone who's accusing these things has actually like decided on one sort of terminology, but yeah, they're just kind of saying she's like being held against her will in some sort of, like psychiatric kind of facility that, is just like keeping her from being free and being herself and performing and that sort of thing.
Well, I saw a hashtag Free Britney protest happening outside WeHo City Hall this week. Yeah, well,
that's what happened. And then I saw she made a video and actually put it on Instagram saying, I'm fine, I'm taking care of my family, please respect the privacy. And I mean, I think that's only kind of set off more of a wildfire. Now I've actually seen a lot of the like Britney stans, and I feel like I follow a lot of Britney stans on Twitter, kind of like split down the middle. Like, now people are using the video as even more fuel as to like say it's proof that she needs help. And other people are like, listen, she said she's fine. Let's just respect her privacy.
It's a difficult situation because of course, none of us know anything about anybody, like let right. alone one of the most protected celebrities in the world. And there's no way the general public will get the answers that they want. There's right. no way that the general public will get a response from Britney that will suffice or calm their concerns when you, basically what I'm saying is you will see the proof, purporting what you want to see. And so if you are a firm believer that she's being held against her will, you will look at a video of her saying, leave me and my family alone as something she was forced to do. It's like you will see the proof as whatever you want it to be. So I... don't really know what to say other than, like, I just hope she's fine and healthy and she's Same. Able to be with her kids. And I don't know what else to say.
I wish her only the best. But yeah, I was like, I felt like it was big drama. And like I said, maybe I just follow a lot of Britney stans on Twitter because they're keeping me, like, up to date with the drama.
It's, you know, it's just kind of, we grew up with Britney. And I think everyone in our generation has a special place in their heart for her. No matter what you think of her, you at least can be conscious of how the media has treated her, how pop culture has chewed her up, spit her out, and how she is just a human. And just like anybody else, she deserves to be happy. And so it's a challenging thing to watch because you don't want to overstep your boundaries, but you also don't want her to be... leading a fulfilling life in whatever way she might define that. So it is a difficult thing to do, but I think it's also important to give people the space to live.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, that's the that on that.
I
think we just both wish her well.
I wish her well. Brittany, if you're listening,
we support. Know you are. She's for sure a cycle ghostie.
Not yet. Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is OpenFit. Getting fit and staying healthy always sounds easier said than done, right? OpenFit is bringing you something new that makes it even easier to never miss a sweat session. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. Everybody's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that, which is why it is personalized to the needs that you have, custom tailored with original content. OpenFit has amazing trainers and classes that are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. You can access it anywhere, anytime. You can view it from your computer, from your web-enabled TV, your tablet, your smartphone, your Roku, however you want to get fit. This is going to meet you where you are. Now, personally, I travel a lot, so using OpenFit when I'm on the road is a great way for me to squeeze in a workout at my own time, at my own pace. I don't have to leave my hotel room. It's super, it's simple, it's effective. And I can squeeze in an ab routine without having to stress about it. And y'all know we don't talk about anything without giving you guys the hookup. So if you use coupon code PSYCHO with OpenFit, you can join with a fitness journey personalized just for you. And right now during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, PsychoBabble listeners are going to get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit. All you gotta do is text PSYCHO to 303030. You'll get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text PSYCHO to 303030. P.S. Standard message and data rates may apply. Thank you so much, OpenFit, for sponsoring this episode. Now back to the gossip.
Anyways, should we talk about the Amazing Race episode 2? Tyler and Corey take on Laos.
Yeah, there's one last thing that I wanted to bring up.
Oh, go for it.
This might be a touchy subject, but we need to talk about the Duggars.
I don't want to talk about the Duggars, bitch. We have like 4 minutes left.
Did you see they want to rename deviled eggs? Do you know what they want to rename it to?
To Duggar eggs? They can fuck off.
No!
Oh, it's, angel
it's,
eggs?
It's worse. That's half of the name.
I fucked the Duggars. I mean, I haven't personally, but anytime you've ever tried to bring up Duggars in the history of Psychobabble, I've gotten angry, I've gotten heated, I've said, fuck the Duggars.
Am I dugging myself into a hole? That's all I want to know.
I'm going to dug your nugs.
If I had to pick my last meal, it would definitely be yellow pocket angel eggs. That's what they're going to want to call it.
If the Duggars are trying to act like they're the first fucking religious person to try to rename deviled eggs, they can fuck off, because Lord knows, and I'm talking about Lord the singer, Lord knows that I'm sure many a crazy Christian before them has been all, don't call those deviled eggs, they're angel eggs.
Well, I think yellow pocket angel eggs will be great at the concession stand for our Psychobabble tour that'll someday happen.
They're all, ma'am, a little heavy. They're all, Mary, a little heavy on the mayonnaise on your angel eggs this Easter.
I like my yellow pocket angel eggs with relish. Is that hellish?
I hate you. They go
perfectly with Freedom Fries. Anyway, so we should talk about Amazing Race.
Jesus Christ. Let's talk about it. Episode 2, we go to Laos. Also, yeah, if you haven't watched the episode yet and you want to avoid any spoilers, I guess, adios. Otherwise, here we go.
We'll be quick, though, because we're running out of time. But we go to Laos. What's the tea in Laos?
So Tyler and Corey show up in Laos. Here we are. We have a beautiful monk ceremony in the morning. We think we're the first team to get to the monk ceremony. We think, oh, what a glorious day. Things are going our way. Despite it being humid and us having to wear long sleeves and cover our tattoos. And then suddenly, right off the bat, there is a U-turn board, and our asses got U-turned.
Now, were you expecting to get U-turns?
Here's the thing. I definitely thought it was a possibility that we might get U-turned because, I mean, honestly, if anybody wasn't thinking about U-turning us, that was stupid on their part. I mean, coming into season 31, we were one of the best teams to have ever run the race, so I think that puts a pretty big target on our back. So if I said I didn't think every team, or at least 75% of the teams, weren't considering using it on us, I would be lying. And if they weren't thinking about using it on us, they're dumb.
Well, go off.
But to see Team Fun U-turn us was the biggest shocker to me because, I mean, they don't really show a whole lot of the downtime on the Amazing Race and the time at the airports, but we had definitely bonded very early on with the majority of the Amazing Race teams, especially Team Fun, especially Colin and Christy, definitely Rachel and Alyssa. And so, I mean, we weren't super close with the Afghanimals at that point. And I mean, I definitely thought they would be smart enough to U-turn us because they would think we're a threat. But to show up and see Team Fun had done it, I was kind of like, Wow. I was betrayed by my sisters.
I was definitely annoyed. I was definitely betrayed. I felt like we were the original fun team. And so for them to come against us, and I feel like they thought there's only room for one fun.
That's probably it. They're like, these boys, they're fun, they're funny, they got mad pun game. I mean, listen, we didn't have as snappy outfits as they did this time around. We didn't know how to juggle. But I'd say we were pretty fun.
We knew how to huggle. And we did that to them, so it just felt like betrayal. So then we had to do what? The two challenges?
So yeah, first, and if you don't know the show, if you get U-turned, anytime on the show, there's always one task you do as a team, and there's a choice A and a choice B. And then there's later on usually a task that either one of you has to do. And when you get U-turned, it makes your team do both task A and task B, which in this case was learn the Lao alphabet, and then go to a butcher shop and prepare meat for a barbecue. And I will say I was terrified to show up at that ABC school because I thought, bitch, learning a foreign language is not my cup of tea. I took 4 semesters of Spanish in college and I hated it and I struggled with it. I hated it because I struggled with it. So I was definitely afraid to learn Lao.
Yeah. I mean, when we showed up to the school, I haven't seen the episode yet, so I don't know what's in it, what's not. But when we showed up to the school and we saw all the teachers were there, I was like, girl, nobody else is picking this. They know better.
And I mean, they didn't really show it, but we got very lucky when we were running away from the U-turn board. We kind of ran straight into that school. It was very lucky. We were for sure the first team to make it to either side of the detour points just because we got that lucky. But yeah, I mean, immediately, I think you can kind of see the panic on my face in the episode, and Tyler just kind of snaps right into it. As we do the ABCs, you can see, if you're paying close attention, Tyler is clearly doing the majority of the work. He learned the first 2 rows of the alphabet, and I was like, girl, I'll try to get these last 6.
It was not easy, but I feel like if there was one moment so far on the race that I shined, it wasn't me chomping on a shoe. Though I will say, everyone giving Janelle all the credit for getting the shoe on her first try. Girl, I got the shoe on my first try, and nobody's talking about that. Anyway, back to episode 2. The Lao alphabet, I don't know how I was able to do it. It is not my forte. I do not have the memory. I do not have anything. Like, somehow something in me snapped and like did the fucking work and got it. I will say, like, for things like that where there's a judge, I think part of it was us really performing it. And I think that was helpful for us.
Well, and the funny thing is, when you watch it, the kids are so quick to respond with either like a clap or a laugh if you mess up. So I'm like, we must have been doing it right, because ain't no room of 46-year-olds going to like know to laugh on cue if you get it right, or to clap on their like react the way they did. So I'm like, we must have been doing something right.
So then we went and got to go do the other detour.
Yes, then we went to the butcher shop. We were still trying to make up time on some of the other teams. They didn't show a lot of the shopping in the market, which was definitely a struggle for us, because literally like 8 of the teams had been to the market prior and they bought all of the groceries that were super close to the restaurant. So it caused us to kind of have to look a little bit deeper and explore more of the aisles.
So they didn't show any of that. No. Oh, thank God. That was my main concern going into this episode, because I was not pretty with you. Of any moment so far of all of our time on the first race and this race, this was like one of my most frantic moments, because we were running through the most narrow market. I felt like I was bumping into every local.
Right.
It was not going well.
No. And I felt like, I don't know, it was a busy morning. Everyone was out shopping, getting their groceries. We have our big fucking backpacks. We have all the camera crew. They showed the first like 4 teams, like Beckham, Floyd, Leo, and Jamal shopping when they got it, but they didn't really show any of the other teams. And I kind of thought the same thing, like, thank God, because we were definitely bickering. I definitely had a mini panic attack when I saw a fucking bucket full of frogs that were as big as my head.
Oh my God, I forgot that happened. Corey's biggest fear, and there we are running into frogs. Yeah. So then we do the fish. Thank God you have it in your blood to be able to be a butcher.
I don't know. I had this weird like calming moment where I kind of like felt like my dad and my grandparents and my brothers were kind of there with me. And I weirdly remembered all the things I was taught when I was like a 13-year-old butcher of like feeling for the joints in the duck and like making sure you knew exactly where to cut and to make it easier to cut if you were cutting on joints. I don't know. Shit. I didn't even think I remembered that. And suddenly I was just like chop chop and that fucking duck was like prepared and ready to be barbecued.
I forgot what we were doing. I was just salting shit, cutting
you
shit.
Were scraping scales off of tilapia. Oh, I was chopping up duck. We were stuffing it with lemongrass shit.
We were very frantic, but we were able to make it through. We made our way to the final challenge, the roadblock,
and we made up some time there. And then, yeah, I mean, Tyler got to ride an elephant. And, I mean, the clue said go to an elephant sanctuary, so we knew we were doing something with elephants. And I think kind of on the ride there, we knew we were toward the back because of the U-turn, and I kind of said to Ty, I'm like, you've played with elephants before. I feel like you might be better at this than me. So I had already kind of decided you were going to do it before we even got there.
Honestly, I was ready to do it, and I felt like a cool roadblock
for you to do. You always say I got the good ones, but this was definitely a good one.
I was going to say, like, of all the roadblocks that we had previously done, I was a little jealous of a lot of things you did. Like, what is it? Paragliding in the French Alps. That I always think of like, wow, I wish I could have done that. This, when we were crossing a river in Laos and surrounded by the beautiful jungle, I'm on this elegant, beautiful animal. It's listening to me. It's responding to me. We are connected. We are bonding. We are passing other teams. I'm in the jungle. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. Like that to me, I honestly, it was like, that is a memory I will cherish forever. It was a beautiful out of the race experience where it's like I got to enjoy it despite the circumstances. Yeah. I felt like I was really enjoying a moment of the race and really appreciative.
You can't kind of really tell how everyone shows up to the elephant sanctuary. We were definitely the second to last ones there, and we had barely passed Rupert and Laura by the time we were pulling into the sanctuary. But I think we made the right choice because Becca and Chris had gotten there before you, and they were really struggling with commanding their elephants, and you immediately like zipped right past both of them. And once I saw we were in front of Becca, Chris, and Rupert, I was like, bitch, we're going to be safe. We're going to survive this U-turn.
I do have to say there is something truly delicious about passing the person who U-turned you. And just like, and it wasn't just like me sprinting by or me like zooming by in a cab. It was the slowest passing of her looking at me, and I could see in her eyes just like she knew she had fucked up. You know what I mean? And I loved it. It was delicious.
You haven't watched the episode yet, but they had kind of told us that the Afghanimals had kind of pressured them into doing it. And then to actually watch the episode and see that the Afghanimals are moments away from U-turning us, and then Becca and Floyd run up and they hand them our picture and say, do Corey and Tyler, like, you can tell they for sure were. Floyd even texted me and was like, that's so weird. He was like, I don't remember them physically handing us your picture, but clearly watch it back and that's what happened.
Well, regardless, they did it. I mean, Afghanimals can pressure somebody to do something, but they still did it. I'm not quick to forgive quite yet.
Hopefully in next week's episode, you'll see the awkward conversation between us and Rachel and Alyssa and Team Fun at the airport when we're leaving Laos to head to Vietnam.
I know that it's in the episode because I saw in one of the previews for the entire season a clip of me rolling my eyes that I know is from that conversation. So stay tuned. Watch the episode tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on CBS, and hopefully we survive another week. Even two episodes in, it is not as easy as it was the first time. We are obviously
We're clearly a hot mess. And I live tweeted the episode last week, and I didn't know how well you would all respond. And everybody was like, very interactive. A lot of you are watching with us. So I think I'm going to continue to do that. So make sure you're following me on Twitter, at Corey Cool. And then we've been posting all kinds of behind the scenes, like videos and pictures from the episodes on our Instagrams too. So make sure you're following us there if you're not.
I have not been able to live tweet, but I will one of these episodes soon. I have been like out and about, or I've been like watching on the West Coast or with family, or I don't know, stuff. So I will do that soon. Follow me on Twitter, Tyler Oakley, on Instagram, Tyler Oakley. We will keep you updated. Thank you for watching. Thank you for tweeting along. Thank you for listening. Corey, I think it's time we go.
I know, bitch. Look, this is like one of the longest episodes ever. The kids are going to love it.
Enjoy. Okay, bye, y'all.
Bye. Love you.